It's time for the North Posey Vikings Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW and NorthPoseyRadio.com. And now, here's your host, Jordan Fisher.
Welcome to the North Posey Football Coaches Show. As we're pre-recording these this season, this one taking place on Saturday, August 22nd. I'm your host, Jordan Fisher, with head coach Waylon Shank here on the home for Vikings football, 98.9 WPIW. And coach, we didn't get a chance to talk over the summer, but let's start there. You certainly seem like you had a lot of kids that returned from a year ago, had some new faces that made some bigger plays in that game against Southridge. Just generally, how did the summer go for you and your program?
It was a good offseason. You know, like you said, a lot of veteran guys back, which makes coaching a lot easier. They knew the system coming in. They knew the expectation in the weight room, our conditioning program, good leadership, right? You know, when you got a bunch of guys who've been through this, they kind of know what to expect. And they did a great job of integrating a bunch of younger freshmen. That's a really talented group and kind of showing them the way we do things. Had four productive scrimmages throughout the summer where I felt like we got better each time we went out. And that's what you're looking for. So we were pleased, got majority of what we needed to get installed in before, you know, the official practices started. So I think we were ahead of the game just because we had so many guys back.
Well, let's start on the week one matchup. It looked like you were trying to get Cade Mauch involved kind of early. I know that he missed all of last season. I had heard some reports of him looking good during those scrimmages, but your guys' drives got off to a bit of a slow start. You kind of dug a bit of a 14-0 hole. Southridge just kind of doing whatever they wanted to do on offense, and then it seemed like your guys responded. Brett Beaker had a big kickoff return that put you guys down at the 50, and then it seemed like your offense really took off from there.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we made some changes in the offseason with staff, our coaching staff. You know, same guys on the staff. I kind of stepped away from calling the offense. Coach Johnston stepped in. And then I moved over to the defensive side of the ball and took over kind of the play calling from there. So, you know, we came out. We've changed some things up offensively. You know, we knew Cade was going to be a featured back along with Brett. And, you know, one of our goals in the offseason is we got to be able to run the football. We got to be able to run the football against good teams. And I think Southridge lined up and said, we're not going to allow them to run. We're going to try to make them one dimensional. We probably should have went to the air earlier. But again, Coach Jay had a game plan, wanted to establish the run. You know, we did that two series and they were really loading the box. And I know Coach Hape had just kind of whispered in his ear, you know, put the ball in Schickel's hands, let him throw the ball a little bit, and this will open up. And as soon as we did that, started spreading the ball around, you know, the game changed. And like I said, we knew coming in, we have so many different weapons, and that was going to be the challenge. How do we get everybody touches? How do we, you know, take in what the defense gives us? And I think that was just, you know, Coach Jay getting comfortable in those play calling responsibilities. I mean, it's tough to come out in your first varsity game you're calling offensive plays is against a really good Southridge defense. So I think we were pretty safe and conservative early. And then once he got that confidence to open things up, you know, I think we just took off and I'm not sure they stopped us after we started doing that.
Well, a lot of times the old adage is you run the ball to open up the passing game. Well, in this instance, you guys used the passing game to open up the running game because Cade Mauch did eventually get going. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But Carter Schickel was fantastic once again and not really too big of a surprise after the junior season that he had over 30 touchdowns, just 7 interceptions. And last night he was efficient. I had him at 19 of 24 unofficially for 179 yards and 2 touchdowns. And even something else we didn't see from last year was Carter Schickel's mobility on showcase on Friday night. He had a rushing touchdown on a broken play. Take me through that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it surprised everybody. It was actually Carter turned the wrong way on a handoff, and everybody chased Cade. And, I mean, the hole was wide open. And, you know, Carter did what he should have did, and that was, hey, get the most out of it when he turned and tried to get at least back to the line of scrimmage. He saw a huge hole, and he just tucked it and ran. But he did a good job keeping plays alive with his feet throughout the night. I mean, there was a couple times that he made really good decisions of nobody was there. He got to the edge. You know, he got 7 yards. He got out of bounds. I think that is the biggest improvement he's made in the offseason. We knew he could throw. We knew he was a good decision maker in terms of taking care of the football. This year, he has shown his willingness to run. And, you know, is he going to be a 1,000-yard rusher? No. But can he pull the ball three or four times a game when teams are, you know, dropping in heavy coverage sets and get 7 yards and move the sticks and just keep people honest? You know, last year, I think there was times he just held it when he could have got, you know, a first down with his legs. And this year, we've harped on that with him, his willingness to do it. He is a much better athlete than people see. I mean, the kid can run. He's fast. And he showed that last night. You know, he got to the edge, kind of pulled away for some guys. Good, smart decisions. We don't want him taking hits because he's so valuable. And, you know, he once he got on the open field, he found the sideline, and that's what he wanted. We want him to do.
I know you guys returned a majority of your offensive line from a year ago. I thought they played pretty well. I'm sure you were pretty happy with the performance, but I didn't have them for any sacks given up and really only a handful of pressures given up. What do you think about the trench play?
It was good. I think our pass pro was probably better than our run blocking. You know, you watch film and there were some missed assignments in the run game early. I think that you kind of point to pregame jitters. Everybody's kind of adrenaline's really running high, especially open with on the road against Southridge. And they were fired up. Their linebackers were flying around and we missed some. We didn't come off double teams, but overall I thought, you know, the O-line play was good. Very few, if any, negative plays. Like I said, no sacks. We protected Carter really well. You know, we mixed that up with sprinting out and staying in the pocket and doing some things. And then you know, we knew going into the game, you know, and that's something we harped on to Coach Jay at halftime, you know, rely on this pass game, but Cade's fresh. You know, we knew if we could wear their defense down, make them chase our receivers around, use the whole field, Cade's not playing any defense. He's the most conditioned athlete that I've coached in a long time, you know, outside of his older brother. We knew he wasn't going to get tired. So, you know, our game plan was, you know, don't abandon the run because I think the run's going to close out the game for us. And it did. You know, they came down, they scored and cut it to 6 in the first play. Cade took it, you know, 65, 70 yards. And he looked like a fresh athlete out there playing with a bunch of guys who looked tired.
Well, and to that point, really in that sequence leading up to that 66-yard touchdown run that really put the game away, he had a sequence where of 6 carries, his carries went for 12, 12, 1, 4, 14, and 66. Yeah. So he finally got going.
He is going to get better as the games go on. And everybody's got to remember, too, this is the first time this kid's played football since his sophomore year. You know, he missed all of last year. As a sophomore, he played behind Jed Galvin, so he didn't get a ton of touches. You know, and he went from, as a sophomore, being a guy we just had to run outside, give Jed a little bit break. We knew he had great speed, but he was a little guy. Fast forward to now, I mean, he's a 178-pound wrecking ball that still has the same speed. So his willingness to run between the tackles with power and still have that breakaway speed is a pretty dynamic, you know, running back. And early on, I think he got tripped up by himself on his first carry. I just think he was so excited to get back on the football field after all the things he's went through. But once he settled in, he was the guy we knew he'd be. And like I said, when we needed him late in the game to close it out, he just kept getting better and better.
So I want to go back into the middle of the second quarter, actually late second quarter. And Southridge is coming out for a 4th and about 4.5. And it looks like they're going to pick up the first down as Noah Ring's kind of spinning and reaching for the ball, reaching for the line of scrimmage. And somebody comes through and punches it out and gets that fumble. You guys take over with a little over a minute to go at the end of the first half, down by 7. What's the message to your team in that moment? Was that like a, hey, the moment's here, let's meet it type of moment?
Yeah, I mean, we came out defensively and, you know, talking to our coaching staff, you know, this week, we knew it was going to be a challenge early with our offense. You know, it's just something about Southridge. I've been here 10 years now. I'm not sure they haven't opened every time we've played them with a touchdown. It's just one of those things that you simulate it in practice. Your scout team can't run it as fast and as efficient as they can. They're physical. They get off the ball, and they hide the ball really well. So if you don't play your keys, you don't know where the ball's at. and you end up, you know, staring in the backfield and you got linemen on top of you real fast. And we did that the first two drives. Like we're trying to find the football instead of reading our keys. And I think as we settled in defensively, you know, the game started to slow down a little bit. The kids started trusting what we had told them for the last 3 weeks as we had been breaking down Southridge, and they started allowing their keys to take them to the football rather than trying to find the football. And we were in a lot better position after, you know, those first two drives. The first two drives, we were so out of position that, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm not sure that we're not going to give up 100 points tonight because, you know, everybody was just running every different direction. Once we got them to settle in and play their keys, they were a lot better. The turnover was huge. We've told our defense all year, all offseason, look, we're going to give up some big plays. We're going to give up some points. But what we are going to do is we're going to create turnovers. I mean, that was our goal. We're going to create turnovers. We're going to get after it. If we can give our offense two or three more possessions than the other team, I don't see a whole lot of people being able to stop our offense. So when we, you know, at the end of the night, we started off really slow, but when the game ended, we had created five turnovers, you know, two turnovers on downs, a forced fumble and two interceptions, and we didn't turn the ball over. So, you know, when you win the turnover margin by five and you got the offense that we have right now, I think we're gonna win a lot of football games.
Well, and certainly to that point, you guys came out of halftime and the defense was on fire. They forced two straight three and outs and got a pick on a third down pass that Remy Johnson played perfectly on a fade route. So that really allowed you guys to kind of flip the game on its head, build that double-digit lead that you're talking about, and really kind of lead that one to victory. But I thought that was an interesting point because last year this was a team that didn't really take the ball away much. You had four fumble recoveries and three interceptions a year ago. Well, last night you had the three takeaways along with the two turnovers on downs. So it certainly seems like being more of a playmaking defense was a point of emphasis this summer.
Yeah, we've told our guys, take chances. Like I want you to take chances. And you saw Remy do that. He kind of got beat on an out and up last night and there in the second half. But we want him jumping routes. We want him, you know, how many high school quarterbacks are going to hang in there and, you know, be able to hit an out and up in a tight window and things like that. We're fortunate we have one, and our guys have been practicing against him, you know, all offseason, and it's been a great battle. But we want those guys. And I've told them, man, sometimes you're going to give up a big play, but we want the turnovers. And if we give up the big play, our offense is going to turn right around and score and get the ball back or, and get the points back for us. Our job is to create negative plays, create turnovers. You know, we're going to take some chances. We're going to play a lot more of an attacking style this year. We're going to bring pressure. We're going to play some man coverage because we feel really confident in the guys on the back end. And I mean, even the big play there late in the third quarter, I think, where they, you know, they hit Gasser down the sideline. I mean, Remy Johnson is in great position. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those, you know, jump ball type situations. And Remy won way more of those battles last night than he lost. And we're going to take that. You know, we're going to take that every time. If people want to isolate Remy, you know, they think, you know, he's not very tall. We could pick on him. Good luck, because the kid's really good and he's really competitive. And I know he's only 5'5" or 5'6", whatever, but he is the ultimate competitor. And, you know, if you throw at him, he's going to lead the conference in interceptions.
There's a couple of kids I want to talk about that I thought played really well defensively. Brennan Reich got a big sack at one point in the second half that really stalled the drive and forced a punt. And then also a bit of a surprise for me was Carter Hurdle, a freshman that really was a game wrecker in the second half defensively.
Yeah, we kind of threw Carter to the wolves. Our depth on the D-line was, you know, our biggest concern coming into this. And as we kind of get through some summer scrimmages, you know, Carter's playing a lot of the JV reps and things. But, man, his motor was just something that just kept standing out to the coaching staff. He makes freshman mistakes, and he's going to continue to make freshman mistakes. But his effort is something that's unmatched right now by anybody on our team. I mean, he just goes hard to the whistle. Sometimes he goes the wrong way, but he does create havoc in the backfield, and that's what we're after. We're looking for guys that are going to shoot gaps, are going to chase stuff down from the line of scrimmage. And, you know, in the first half, he kind of got abused. He realized that, you know, Southridge comes off the ball a lot faster and harder than he was used to from eighth grade football last year. And the misdirection. And but once he settled in, because I think he was getting frustrated the first half, he didn't know where the ball was, and you know, he finally understood it's not your job to know where the ball is. It's your job to get penetration, pick off their pullers, let our linebackers make plays. But yeah, he did. He flew around, and he did that last week at Princeton, and that's why you know, we knew we were going to play him a bunch tonight, because he's earned it. He's earned that opportunity. And what he's also done is he's also put kind of some of those older guys kind of on alert, like, hey, this freshman's taking my job because he's playing harder than me. He might not be as physically ready as some of these older guys, but his effort is so much better than mine that it's kind of it's raised everybody else's effort level to where if they want to be on the field, they're going to have to match it. And he played good. But like Brennan's one of our guys. You know, he played some as a freshman at that DN spot. He started last year for us at that DN spot. I really challenged him at halftime. Him and I got a great relationship. You know, so I can talk to him and say things to him, and he's not going to get offended, but I challenged him to step up his game, and play with more, play more inspired on the D line with better effort. And he also, again, it's really hard to simulate what Southridge does. And they were getting under his pads and double teaming, and he was getting frustrated. And we just told him, man, just rip and shoot gaps. And he did that. He made some great moves. He really had two sacks in the second half. One of them, they got him on a 5-yard face mask that would have ended a drive on fourth down. But he was a lot better in the second half. And the other two guys, I thought, just watching film, that really stood out defensively is Braden Elpers had a game. And you know, the progress he's really made from this time last year, both in the weight room as a leader, and just, I mean, he was the one last night that was really focused on his keys, and it was taking him to the football, and he made a lot of tackles that maybe I didn't see in live action last night, but it stood out when I watched film. And then Camden Clowers was all over the field making tackles. And he did that last year as a freshman, but coming down from his safety position, he packs a punch. And you know, there were some plays last night that I thought, we might be in trouble, this guy. And then Camden stopping it for a 3-yard gain. So those are the guys that stood out defensively. And our defense is going to be a work in progress. You know, we got, you know, Matthew Will got a lot better as the game went on. He's only a sophomore. He started getting more comfortable. Zeke Roosevelt got more comfortable as the game went on. His first start in the linebacker. Those guys by week four, I think, are going to be really, really good football players for us. But they need more seat time and they need more experience. And you know, that's going to come as the season goes. And as that season goes, that defense is going to get better.
Well, let's step away for a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the conversation about the game against the Southridge Raiders, because a couple more things I want to talk about there. And then we'll also take a look to week number two, where your Vikings will be hosting Tecumseh for the home opener at Joe Jingle Ball Field. Don't go anywhere. The Coach's Show continues right after this on 98.9 WPIW.
Hot off the pavement at Expressway Chevrolet. Looking for a brand new Chevy at an incredible price? We've got 28 new 2026 Chevy Trax starting at just $22,850. Drive home a new 2026 Chevy Trailblazer LT, $23,850. Or a new 2026 Chevy Equinox LT, just $28,850. Visit us today or shop anytime at expressway chevrolet.com. Together, let's drive. Price includes tax, title, and license fee. Sale price includes $260. Dock. Residential restrictions may apply. Dealer retains all rebates. See dealer for details.
Nix Industrial is hiring. Voted one of Indiana's best places to work in manufacturing, Nix Industrial is a metal fabrication, coatings, and gear and machining company located in Poseyville, Indiana. Are you looking for a stable career where the employer truly cares? At Nix Industrial, we are always searching for talented team members to join our growing business. If you are interested in competitive pay and benefits, overtime opportunities, and working for a family-oriented company, we encourage you to apply today on our website, nixindustrial.com.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hopstott, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Askro and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
This is Justin Schmidt, Regional Manager for Crane Credit Union in Posey County. I want to remind you that Crane Credit Union is committed to serving Posey County. With three locations, familiar faces, and local decisions, we are able to offer cutting-edge products and services that you want, along with hometown feel that you deserve. When you become a member at Crane Credit Union, you're helping to support this community and the schools and organizations that matter to you. Visit us in person at one of our local branches in Poseyville, Mount Vernon, or St. Wendell, or online at cranecu.org to find out how easy it is to join. Crane Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA, an equal housing lender.
When it's time for maintenance on your vehicle, make the right choice and visit Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center. No matter the make or model, they have the right parts at the right price. Let the knowledgeable staff help you find exactly what you need for the job. If you don't want to deal with the mess yourself, then let the Poseyville Service Center take care of you where there's no job too big. Stop in at 39 West Main Street in Poseyville or call 812-874-3113. Open Monday through Friday from 8 until 5 and Saturdays from 8 until noon. Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center, your one-stop shop for everything automotive.
A price you've never seen, savings you've never heard of, only at Expressway Jeep. Drive home a new 2026 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 for just $44,444. Come see us at Expressway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram in Mount Vernon, Indiana, where can't be beat pricing makes every mile worth the drive.
Price includes $250 dock fee, excludes tax, title, and license fees. Includes all applicable rebates and bonus cash. Can't be beat pricing applies to identical in-stock vehicles within 100 miles. Restrictions apply. Offer ends 8/3/26. See dealer for details.
Big size, big impact, and big energy. Need your business or special event noticed? SWG Signs in Waitsville has you covered. With eye-catching business signs, banners, and business cards to special event graphics that make you impossible to miss. And we can even turn your fleet into rolling billboards with professional graphics. And show your school spirit with standout signs, banners, and graphics that bring the crowd to life. If you want to stand out, contact SWG Signs in Waitsville. Call 812-543-3508.
When you need to clear up some space at home, store things that matter the most, or need an area to keep your business's materials and inventory, turn to Posey Storage in Poseyville. They've got storage units to fit about any need, with four sizes to choose from, including 5x12, 10x12, 10x24, and extra large 12x35-foot units. Need room for a boat, RV, or camper? They have you covered with both indoor and outdoor options. And renting couldn't be any easier. Call them at 812-622-1626, rent online at PoseyStoragePV.com, or stop by and use a convenient rental kiosk on site. Plus, with security cameras around the property, your stuff stays protected. Posey Storage, your local storage solution at 128 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville.
You count on your car every day, so keep it looking sharp at Billy's Sparkle and Shine in Poseyville. A clean car doesn't just turn heads, it feels better to drive. Billy's has a touchless spot-o-matic bay for a quick and easy wash, two self-serve bays if you're hands-on, and four powerful vacuums to freshen up your interior. If you're tackling summer bugs, the front bug sweep pass on the Ultimate Package can clean up that mess too. And for businesses, fleet accounts make regular cleanups a breeze. So stop by Billy's Sparkle and Shine today at 140 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville and give your car the care it deserves.
When you're ready to tackle your next home improvement project, look no further than JT's Hardware, your one-stop shop on Main Street in Poseyville. JT's Hardware has everything you need to get the job done right. From tools to paint, plumbing to electrical, and fasteners to lumber, they've got you covered. And the staff is always ready to lend a helping hand and offer helpful advice. So don't wait. Head to JT's Hardware today and make your home improvement dreams a reality. JT's Hardware, your local partner in home improvement, located on Main Street in Poseyville.
If you're looking to breathe new life into your worn-out asphalt, you need Smith's Ceiling and Asphalt Maintenance, a family-owned and operated business you can trust. Their team specializes in sealing and maintaining asphalt, making old driveways and parking lots look brand new. With fair prices and a commitment to quality, they're the ones you can rely on. Visit them on Facebook and give them a call for a free quote today. Call 812-228-9651 for Smith's Ceiling and Asphalt Maintenance. Trust in family. Trust in quality. Trust Smith's.
We're back here with North Posey Football Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW with head coach Waylon Shank. I'm Jordan Fisher. And coach, before we were taking that commercial break there, you were kind of going through your defense and kind of who stood out. And Camden Clowers is one name that got brought up. And I thought that was a pretty important detail that you brought up about how he was playing defensively, because I don't know if he had the impact he wanted offensively. He had a couple opportunities and one-on-one coverage that he just didn't come up with. But I think that speaks to his mentality to not let his offensive frustrations bleed into the defensive side of the ball where he felt like he could go make a play.
Yeah, I mean, Camden, if you know that kid, he's a really quiet kid, you know, very respectful kid. And then he puts a helmet on and he becomes like ultimate competitor. Like he wants to win, whether in practice, he's always competing. And then it transfers out on the football field, you know, in game situations. But the kid wants to win. I don't think he cares about his stats. I don't think he cares if he catches 10 balls or 2 balls. He just, at the end of the game, he wants to be the team that's got the most points. And that's what we're looking for. Unselfish guys, because you're going to have that this year. You know, Brody had a big game on offense, you know, in terms of receptions. Remy had a big game in terms of receptions. You know, I think Clowers had a couple of catches, but we took some deep shots to him. We just missed him. You know, week 2 might be just the opposite. It might be Remy that has 2 catches and Clowers has 10. And that's the mentality that we're trying to get our guys to understand, that teams are going to sometimes are going to game plan different. Next week, they may just, you know, double team Remy the whole time and one-on-one Clowers. And, you know, then we're going to go to him. So week by week, things are going to change. And that only works, though, if your guys are bought into team success over individual success. And Camden's always been a guy that the team success matters way more than individual success. So, like I said, I mean, when you watch film, he really, really stood out defensively. And, you know, you may not get all the accolades and the, you know, press write-ups from the defensive side, but we got no shot at winning the game last night if Camden doesn't play the way he did on defense.
So there were multiple plays last night where I believe it was like him and Brody Fain or him and Remy that they would meet a receiver in the seam and break that ball up. I mean, they were separating man from ball as legal as you can in nowadays game of football. And I thought that that was certainly a testament to how your back end played last night. I want to go into a little bit of the finer details. So I know that the first half was a bit of a struggle. You guys battled your way back, tied it, ultimately take control of the game in the second half. But Ethan Ashby is a bit of an unsung hero from last night's game. He went 4-for-4 on PATs, hit 2-for-2 on field goals, made a 45-yard field goal, which we looked up before recording this, just 4 yards shy of the school record that was 49 yards. And you thought Ethan Ashby's kick was going to be good from 50, maybe 55.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he's done that in practice. So, you know, we told Coach Jay, you know, I'm constantly communicating him on third down. You know, take a shot, do what you want to do. We'll kick it. We're in field goal range now. You know, there's been times in the past with other kickers, you're like, man, we got to get 6-7 more yards to have a shot. And we knew, you know, we got to the 30, I think 30, right there, 28, something like that, that 45 was not an issue. I've said all along in every interview I've done in the off season, anything 47 and in, I'm really confident he's going to hit. 50 to 52. We're going to kick it. I mean, we're going to take a shot, and there's probably 75% chance he's going to hit it. And that is a huge weapon. I talked to the guys after the game about just that thing. You know, we came into this and said the only way we go on the road and beat a Southridge team that I can't remember the last time we beat at Southridge is that it's got to be a complete team effort. And after the game, I talked about our special teams. Our special teams last night were huge, not just Ethan's field goals and extra points. I mean, his kickoffs were either touchbacks or they were high into the 1 yard line, and our kickoff coverage made the tackle inside the 20. And, you know, that's a field position battle that, you know, the average football fan up there watching doesn't understand how huge that is. And then, you know, his punts, like late in the game where we had to punt and, you know, be smart about it. I thought they were going to be in pressure and try to block it. Ethan saw they dropped and he kind of just paused and took his time because he knew he had all time and was running a little more clock, and he put it right on the sideline where we wanted it because we didn't want to have to deal with a return. You know, our kickoff return team was good. You know, we were constantly starting 35 or beyond. I mean, we returned 1 to the 50. We spend a lot of time, Coach Knight spends a lot of time with that special teams group. We make it like a competitive thing. You know, I've been part of programs where guys don't want to play special teams. Coach Knight makes being on our we call our special forces, it's almost like a tryout every day. It's an honor to be in that group of kids that he feels like are special forces worthy. And I think when you make it important, you got guys that compete to be on there, and you got guys who want to do it. And they aren't plays off for us. And last night that showed, and I think it was a huge, huge part of the outcome of the game.
Well, certainly the field position game is always a big one. And really, you can tell kind of when the first quarter and second quarter switch happened. Your first two drives of the night, you guys started at the 26 and the 29. Southridge, after the first punt by Ethan Ashby, which I think if you ask him, he knows it wasn't a very good punt, yeah, but ended at the Southridge 45. But then from that point on, Southridge's starting position was their own 17, 18, 22, three straight possessions at the 20, a 19, and another 20-yard start. So they were having to go the full length of the field for basically the rest of the game, and that really is what helped you guys win the game.
Yeah, and that really helps our approach on defense. You know, it's kind of a bend, don't break, make them run multiple plays. We're going to try to create turnovers. It's easier to create turnovers when they've got to, you know, they got to run 12 plays at you to try to score. If they get that short field, it makes it a lot more challenging on the defense, because, I mean, we can make a mistake and they get a 10-yard gain and, okay, they got the ball at the 30. But if they're getting that field position, you know, 45, 50, I mean, it really puts pressure on the defense. And Ethan and our coverage teams did a phenomenal job. Like I said, it is a huge benefit to have the depth we have at defensive back and linebackers to where we're running really good athletes out there on all of our special teams. You don't see many linemen. There's not linemen out there. And like I said, I've been a part of programs where you have to fill those positions. And, you know, our special forces is filled with linebackers and defensive backs. It's a lot of speed. It's a lot of athleticism. So we're going to do a really good job of covering those things.
Well, let's look forward to week number two. Now you're 1-0 in the books, and you have a matchup with the Tecumseh Braves at home to open up the home slate of the season. First, is there anything special going on for the home opener?
No, I think it'll be, you know, the home opener is the home opener. So I think it's going to be a huge crowd, and people are excited to get back out of here, Joe Jingleball Field, and support our Vikings. And we always got great community support. We had great community support last night on the road. I think it'll be a packed house. It'll be a great football game. You know, Tecumseh's got a really good football team this year. They're coming out off of a huge shutout win in week one. And, you know, this is as early as it is in the season, this is going to have huge implications on who wins the conference, because I think, you know, they're one of the front runners to knock us off. And we're going to have to bring our A game to make sure that we're kind of in the driver's seat after week two. But they're a really good football team, a really experienced football team, and we think our community will show out, support us.
What do you know about the Tecumseh Braves so far based on just what they've got returning from last year and coming into this year?
You know, we've watched them on film. You look at their depth chart, I think they got 9 returners on offense and defense from a team that went 6-4 last year. You know, they've got the – what people would call one of the top 1 or 2 offensive linemen in the conference, and Lane Haywick. I'd probably put him and Lennox Stone right there together in terms of who are the better O-linemen in our conference. He's really good. He's really physical. He's a big kid. I think he's going to Eastern Michigan. He plays the nose on their defensive line. He also plays, you know, their left tackle position. They're going to run behind him. They do have some really good athletes around them, a quarterback that's, you know, a couple year starter, the Dax Kramer kid who's a tailback that rushed for 1,300 yards last year, was an all-conference player. They've got all-conference kids all over the field returning from last year. And, you know, we were fortunate last year to go in there and beat them on the road. But, you know, this will be a tough game. I see it playing out a lot like Southridge's game. You know, I think they're going to try to take the air out of the ball, keep our offense off the field, run behind a big physical offensive line, and try to shorten the game. And they're capable of doing that. We're going to have to play really well to beat them.
Well, appreciate the time as always, Coach. Good luck this week with practice and into the game on Friday. And we'll talk to you again on Friday night.
All right. Thanks for having us.
That is the North Posey Football Coaches Show here with Waylon Schenck. We'll talk to you again on Friday night when the Vikings kick off against the Braves right here on your home for Vikings football, 98.9 WPIW. Kickoff at 7. We'll be on the air about 6:45. Thanks, everyone, and have a great week.
You've been listening to the North Posey Vikings Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW and NorthPoseyRadio.com. Keep up to date all season long on your home of the Vikings, 98.9 WPIW and PoseyCountyRadio.com.